Grab your Bibles. I'd like to begin in Matthew chapter 16. Lord, being our helper, we'll be quickly at a few places in Matthew and then move to the Old Testament. And the subject on my mind this morning is really the blessings of the third day. If you look in the New Testament and look for the phrase, the third day, you'll find it 16 times in the New Testament. 14 of those times is referring to the resurrection day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The songs we sang this morning, we sang numerous songs really referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang, "I Come to the Garden Alone," which refers to the biblical narrative of when Mary Magdalene was there in the garden with her risen Savior and her Lord. The last song we sang was, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow," referring to the resurrected Christ that we serve. And there's great blessings in the third day. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, the Lord Jesus, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." The Lord Jesus begins to explain to his disciples what's going to transpire, and that he's going to be killed, he's going to be executed, he's going to be crucified. But on the third day, he will rise again. If you look in the very next chapter, Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 22, it said, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them," that is unto his disciples, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. If you go to Matthew chapter 20, we'll see another place, beginning in verse 17, it said, "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." We see three times here in a few chapters in one of the gospel accounts, the Lord Jesus plainly telling his disciples what would happen there on the cross of Calvary, and that after 3 days, on the third day, he shall rise again. It seems a little confusing that all of this really, when it happened, was kind of a surprise to his disciples. It shouldn't have been. He told them again and again and again. Here, three times in the same gospel account, the Lord Jesus has specifically told his disciples what would happen. We scratch our heads and wonder why they didn't get it. But you know, I have to look at my own life and wonder how many times the Lord in his word has told me things again and again and again. And sometimes I just don't get it. This emphasis on the third day, and the emphasis particularly in the New Testament that it's on the third day that we have the blessings of the resurrected Christ because of what happened on the third day. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives,
all fear is gone. Because he lives, we live also.
The Lord being our helper, I want to look at some of the ways the third day is talked about in Scripture and some of the great blessings of the third day that would ultimately point to the greatest of all third days, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at the very first time in the Bible that the phrase third day is mentioned. In verse 9, it said, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." Here we see the third day of creation. And as we read those verses, if we were to think, what's really the theme of the third day? He talked about the seas being gathered together. He talked about, because of the seas being gathered together, that the dry land was there gathered together in one place. He also talked a lot about fruit and the yielding of fruit. Tree yielding after his kind, other things yielding after. You see the phrase brought forth mentioned more than once in those few verses. So we have the idea of a gathering together. We have an idea of yielding forth fruit, and fruit being brought forth. You know, that happened in the resurrection. There was a gathering together in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was a great yielding of fruit in the ultimate third day, the resurrection day that would come. If you look in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll see some verses about where we are positionally in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us plainly that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that we have some great heavenly blessings in Christ. We are in him positionally. We're in him because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We're in Christ. Then in Ephesians 2, it begins by saying, "You hath he quickened," or "you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins." It says, "Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation," which means manner of life, "in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now that kind of sounds rough to start with, doesn't it? We were by nature
the children of wrath, even as others. We had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Sounds like a pretty bad story so far, doesn't it? But something changes. It doesn't change because of something we did, but it changes because of something God did. What's the next two words in verse 4? But God. It changed because of what God did. But God, who is rich in mercy. In Brother White's very able and very humble and very spirit-filled prayer, he mentioned thankfulness that God is a God of mercy. We rejoice in that this morning, that God does not give us what we deserve, but he's a God of mercy and grace and love. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, listen, together with Christ. He hath quickened us together with Christ. This isn't talking about our new birth that happened to all of us at different times. Brother Danny Wisner, who was so ably preaching at our meeting here a couple of weeks ago, kind of gave an experience of how late in life he had been born again. And we have the experiences of people like Brother Danny, of like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, where he was going to persecute and to kill followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God struck him down on that road and born him again right on that road. We have the experience of John the Baptist, who the Bible said was quickened in his mother's womb. He was made alive there in his mother's womb. We're all born again at different times. What he's talking about here occurred together. Hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. What were we just reading about on the third day? He gathered together the seas. The dry land appeared there together. It was about being together in something. There was a time where all the elect family of God, because we're in Christ, when he rose, we rose. When he became alive from the grave, we became alive. We were quickened together. We were made alive with Christ, all in one group, all together, when he rose. That's our position in him. When he rose, we rose. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a sense in which, because Christ sits at the right hand of God Almighty in power and in great glory today, because we're in him, we're made to sit there in power, in glory. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And what a blessing that is. We're together. On that first third day, the Lord brought some things together. And the seas came together, and the dry land came together and appeared. On that third day, it also talked about the fruitfulness, the tree yielding its fruit and the grass bringing forth and yielding its truth. And we see that phrase brought forth, fruit yielding. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in talking about the wonderful resurrection,
of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us this. In verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. What are the first fruits? When a farmer or when a grower grows something and the harvest begins to come, there's always those first fruits that come forth. And whatever that fruit is, we can see that it's a sign of the harvest that is to come. Those first tomatoes that may come forth, if they're really good and they're really full of taste and large, a farmer gets excited. Because they say, wow, this is the first that's coming up. Wonder what the great harvest will be that follows. And it says Christ is the first fruits. It's talking about when he raised from the dead, he's the first fruits of them that slept. Somebody may say, well, Brother Mark, the Lord Jesus wasn't the first to rise from the dead. There were numerous instances in the Old Testament where people rose from the dead by the power of God. Jesus, in his own public ministry, raised numerous from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus and others from the dead. He raised the widow's son at Nain from the dead by touching that bier and raised him from the dead. He wasn't the first to be risen from the dead, but so why is he the first fruits? He was the first to be raised like he was raised. Everybody else had been raised from the dead by the power of another, but Christ, by his own power, was raised from the dead. Everybody else had been raised to die again. They had been raised with the body that would yet die again and have the sin of corruption. But I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was raised, glorified, never to die again. He's the first fruits. So there on the very third day of creation, we see this fruitfulness, this fruit yielding fruits, pointing all the way to the resurrection of that great third day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's the first fruits of us because of what he did. We're fruitful because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, which was symbolized by his great resurrection from the dead in power and in great glory. He's the first fruits of them that slept. He goes on to tell us, for as in Adam, all die. We were all in Adam. Adam was our representative. Adam was the head of the human family. We were all in him, and because we're in Adam, we all die. The genealogy of Adam, if you read it there in the Old Testament, you'll see as it goes through it, it'll say, and he died. He lived, he married, he had children, and he died. And the next one comes, and he died. And the next one comes, and he died. The next one comes and he dies. We've seen it all the way to our generation here. Whether we stand over the gravesides of those that we love, we're reminded, as in Adam, all die. But we have that sweet hope of the resurrection. We have, because of Jesus being the first fruits of them that slept, as in Adam all die. But the verse doesn't end there. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, they that are afterward, they that are Christ at his coming.
I'll tell you, because Jesus on the third day was the first fruits of them that slept. One sweet day, we'll all live. We'll all be raised incorruptible and undefiled. And we'll be raised with him. We'll meet him in the air. And we shall forever be with the Lord. The blessings of the third day. What a blessing it is. And I believe as God organized his word, we see even in the book of Genesis that third day there in the third day of creation, ultimately looking forward and pointing to the great third day of all third days that would come and be emphasized in the New Testament, so great, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to Genesis chapter 22. We'll see a time where God is testing Abraham with a very, very difficult test. He's told him to go and to offer his own son, his only begotten son, that son Isaac, upon one of the mountains he would tell thee of. And he tells him to go and offering there. He says, go to Mount Moriah, which Mount Moriah literally means Jehovah has provided. And Abraham's going to see a glorious picture of the resurrection of Christ up in that mountain, that Mount Moriah, where Jehovah has provided. And Abraham goes to obey the commandment of the Lord. And I'll tell you, Abraham was a great man of faith that was willing to do what God said when it was kind of easy, but also willing to do what God said when it was very hard. Sometimes God requires us to do things that are not that hard for us. But sometimes God requires us to do things that can be very difficult. And we should be like Abraham, that no matter what God has asked us to do, we're willing to be obedient to the word of the Lord. Abraham goes with Isaac, his son. He had waited so long. He had been waiting for this promised son for many, many years. And finally, when Abraham's 100 years old, here comes Isaac, the promised son. And he loved him so much. Then God says, you go and you offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, I'll tell thee of. You get to Moriah. By the way, in 1 Chronicles, it tells us where Moriah is. Moriah's in Jerusalem. Here in this Mount Moriah, when Abraham goes, the Lord tells him in verse 4, he begins to travel and he says, you need to go to the place. So Abraham, there's a particular place that God has told him to go to, and God says, you need to go to the place. And so Abraham begins his journey. And it said, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? He saw the place afar off. He saw the place. That place was going to be where he was ready to offer his own son. Would be in that place where God Almighty is. As he had put Isaac there upon the altar in obedience to the Lord's command, and as Abraham had raised up that knife to slay his own son, that the angel of the Lord would call out of heaven and say, Abraham, Abraham. He said, don't slay thy son. Don't slay thy son. The Bible would tell us here that Abraham would lift up his eyes and he'd see a ram caught in a thicket. God would tell him, you offer that ram instead of your son. We see in this time a great image and a great picture both of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten son of his father, God the Father. Here Abraham had been called on to offer his only begotten son as a burnt offering. And I'll tell you, that's what God the Father did for us. His only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loved so much, he came. He was offered on the cross of Calvary.
for my sins and for yours.
What a joy when Abraham saw the ram. He said, the ram, I'm going to offer him instead of my son. The ram will take his place. Up until then, Isaac in this account has been a very strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, to come and suffer and bleed and die for our sins. But here in the narrative, the picture changes. Now this ram becomes a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God, but he's also the mighty Ram of God. The word ram in the Bible comes from a Hebrew word that means might and means power and means strength. And I'll tell you, our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sins of the world, he's a mighty ram. He's a strong in power and holiness. He comes and Abraham rejoices because this mighty ram is offered in the place of his son. Such a blessing for us to realize what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary is that he took my place. And he took your place. What a great blessing as a minister of the gospel to have the opportunity to baptize both of my children. To realize their love for the Lord and to see those wondrous evidences that they are little children of God. For me, like Abraham, to look down and see that ram took my son's place. To be able to realize that the Lord took my place, but that he also took my children's place. What a blessing that is. But not only in that Mount Moriah did Abraham get a glimpse of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, but he also got a glimpse of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it'll tell us in Hebrews chapter 12, it'll give us a little more glimpse and a little more information of what happened there and of the faith of Abraham. We go to Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 17, it said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried or when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Here the Lord had made a promise to Isaac, and he said, Abraham, this promise of the promised seed, this promise of Isaac, all the blessings I promised to you are going to come through Isaac. So Abraham remembers the promise of God, and he believes the promise of God. And he said, Isaac can't die and be dead forever. Because if that were to happen, then God would have broken his promise. Because he promised that all the promises he had promised to me would come through Isaac. So Abraham's already concluded in his mind, if I was to slay my son, God will raise him from the dead. Said accounting. This is what verse 19 says, accounting or reckoning that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In a figure, Abraham saw his son Isaac resurrected on that day because he was as good as dead in his mind. But because the ram took his place, Isaac, that in his mind was as good as dead, was alive. So we saw the resurrection of his son in a figure. But I'll tell you, not only did he see the resurrection of his son in a figure that day, he saw the resurrection of Christ in a figure that day. Because many, many years later, on the third day, when did Abraham see the place that God told him? When did he see the place? It told us in what we just read in Genesis, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. He saw the place on the third day. Do you remember when the women went to the tomb? They came and they're searching for their Lord. They see an angel of God there in Matthew chapter 28. That angel tells them to not fear. Fear not. For I know ye seek Jesus. He's not here, but he's risen. Come see, listen, the place where the Lord lay. What did he call the place of the resurrection? He called it the place. What is symbolized here in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham was to offer his son? It's called the place. It's a prefigurement. It's a picture of the place of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Abram would offer his only begotten son Isaac as a strong picture of Christ. We also see a figure of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was offered for our sins. But on the third day, he would rise again on the third day. Mount Moriah, where Jehovah has provided. We see in Genesis chapter 22 the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh. God tells him, Abraham called the name of the place in verse 14, Jehovah Jireh, which means in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. What did he see there? He saw the resurrection of Christ there in a figure. He saw that one day, because Jesus lives, all the elect family of God and all the seed that Abraham had been promised, his spiritual seed would be blessed to live, because one day Jesus would come, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus would come and would be raised again from the dead. And he saw it in a figure. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. That's why Jesus in the New Testament would say, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When did Abraham see the day of Christ? Right there in that mountain. Right here, as he was obedient and offering son, he saw the day of Christ, and he saw a picture of the resurrection of Christ on that mountain. Jesus would say, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The blessings of the third day. What a blessing it is. Let's go to Genesis chapter 40. We'll come to a very strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of Joseph. And if you look at all the details of the life of Joseph, I don't know that there's any stronger picture in all the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ than Joseph. Joseph was given a coat of many colors by his father. Jesus was given a people of many colors by his father. What does Revelation tell us? That God has a people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Joseph was given a coat of many colors by his father. And I'll tell you, Jesus was given a people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Joseph was a shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ was a shepherd. You'll see where Joseph, early in the account of him, brought back an evil report of his brethren, and his brethren hated him. Jesus was hated by his brothers. Many similarities. Joseph would one day become the king. Jesus is king. So you see many dynamic pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 40, another similarity, another picture of Joseph as Christ, is Joseph has been falsely accused.
And Joseph has been made a prisoner. Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was a prisoner. You know, when Jesus was a prisoner, there's two specific prisoners with him mentioned. Thief on the right hand and a thief on the left. When Joseph was a prisoner, there's two specific prisoners mentioned, a butler and a baker. A butler had a dream and he didn't know what it meant. He had heard that Joseph could interpret dreams, and he goes to Joseph and Joseph interprets the dream. And Joseph tells him this. Verse 13. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. He tells the butler, in 3 days, you're going from the prison house to the palace. In 3 days, you'll go from being a prisoner into the very throne room of the king. And you'll be so much in his kingdom, you'll put Pharaoh's cup back in his hand. You know what happened? In 3 days was Pharaoh's birthday. And on that third day, on that blessing of the third day, Pharaoh got that butler from the prison house and he brought him into the palace on the third day. You remember what Jesus told the prisoner there on the cross of Calvary? The Bible tells us very plainly that as Jesus was there on the cross, that at first both of these robbers were mocking him and making fun of him in an exorbitant way. Even though they were suffering on a cross similar, they were still making fun of the Son of God. And I'll tell you, that's what the wicked will always do. We'll make fun of God and of his Son. But there came a time where that thief changed. And I believe God, through a hand of mercy and a hand of grace, reached down and born again one of those thieves there on the cross of Calvary, and it totally changed him in a moment, in an instant. He wasn't changed because he heard the gospel. He wasn't changed because of anything he did, but he was changed as a miracle of grace directly by God. God changed his heart right there on the cross. He began to rebuke the other thief. And he said, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, we deserve what we're getting," he said, "but this man has done nothing amiss." He begins to see himself as a great sinner, worthy of death. He sees Jesus as sinless. Then he turns to the Lord Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He saw Jesus there on that cross, the one he had moments earlier had been making fun of and mocking. He now saw him as Lord. He saw him as King. God had changed his heart there on the cross. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. He went from being a prisoner into the very palace of the King of all kings. He didn't have to wait 3 days like the butler did. But that same day, what great blessings there is in the scriptures of the third day. But all of them point
to the greatest of all third days. And this is the third day that we celebrate today. We meet here on Sunday because we're celebrating the third day. We meet here as a celebration of the resurrection of Christ, the greatest of all third days. I hope and trust that we're thankful for that. You know, as it talked about the great fruitfulness of the resurrection and the first fruits, there in Isaiah chapter 53, talking of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, it said, "He shall see his seed." You know what that means? He shall see his fruit. He shall see the very family of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us, "Let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto ourselves, looking unto how good we are." No, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Who was that joy? What did Isaiah 53 say when he was upon the cross? He shall see his seed. He saw all the family of God. He saw everyone that had been chosen in him and given to him before the foundation of the world. He saw all the family of God in one moment. He was there on the cross of Calvary. He saw his seed. We were the joy that was set before him. He saw us and he loved us as he was dying on the cross for us there. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What does that mean? He was victorious on the cross of Calvary. He won the greatest victory that's ever been won there. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He saw us. He knew he was the first fruits, but he saw all the harvest that would follow. And that's me, and that's you, and that's all the elect family of God. That's the blessings of the third day. I hope and trust we're all thankful for that third day that Jesus repeatedly said, "On the third day, I will rise again." And he did. And we experience the blessings and the life and the joy and the peace that comes from what he did on the cross, and of the great blessings of him raising on the third day. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.